the hell does he do it? A man must be flexible or he's not a man.
Boy, what a mystery. What a freaking mystery.
I said to my wife at 1:18, I'm skipping lunch. I'm saving up for the crock pot. At 1:40, I started making lunch. I got no willpower.
It's Victory Sunday night on the Ira Kaufman podcast with the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. Ira Kaufman, Lee DeCamper of Joe Bucks Fan is here. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. They are fired up over at Bill Curry Ford, Ira, where they present all of your work here at JoeBucksFan.com. GM Sean Sullivan, I actually got an email from him over the weekend saying that he's got an extra $1,000 for everybody.
Whoa.
On their trade-in and on top of the Ira Kaufman discount, on top of all the great offers at BillCurryFord.com.
Wait a minute. Is Sean in the habit of trying to lose money, Steve? This is unbelievable.
Don't worry.
Drive Curry.
Don't worry. Drive Curry. Go anywhere else and you will pay more. BillCurryFord.com is the website. Curry, that's the family name, Sage. The Curry family.
Beautiful.
Family owned.
And today we're going to talk about the Buck family, Steve.
The Bucks family is fired up. Curry family is fired up. 65-plus years, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. And just check them out. That's all we're asking, is give them an opportunity to show you why family-owned makes a difference. And get to their website, BillCurryFord.com. They'll also beat any advertised offer by $100.
So not just a match. Beat it.
Beat it. They'll beat it, Sage. You love a good savings
here.
I love
a good savings.
And, of course, our friends at FloridasElite Restoration.com. Florida's Elite Restoration. They're family-owned, too. Josh Martin and his team are unbelievable, and they're covering way more than the Tampa Bay area, out to Orlando and beyond. If you have a disaster at your property, doesn't matter what it is, doesn't matter when it is, unless it's what happens to you with those Pop-Tarts you throw in the microwave and forget about them, Ira. But you call Florida's Elite Restoration. Fire, storm damage, mold, water is a killer. Floridaselite Restoration.com.
And you don't expand like that, Steve, unless you're being successful. You're successful. And Florida's Elite Restoration is successful.
5-star Google reviews. Check them out. Floridaselite Restoration.com. That's their average, Ira. Not like your podcast, which has like 4.2 stars. We're talking 5.0 at Florida's Elite Restoration. Floridaselite Restoration.com. Mention Ira when you call or Joe Bucks Fan, and you'll get $500 back after your free evaluation if you move forward with their services. Sage, we're fired up because, you know, we all predicted the Bucks to lose.
We have never been so happy to be wrong.
And this was a landmark win in a lot of ways. Lee's calling it one of the greats of all time. I can't go that far. You know, last year they had the huge win in Green Bay.
Huge win in Atlanta, too, last year.
But against a team of this caliber, you know, we'll clear the floor for you, Ira. We got a lot to get into. What say the Sage?
I say spectacular. Absolutely spectacular. They made the Lions look pedestrian. Goff's throwing 55 balls. First of all, I don't know why. He wasn't very successful. And they got a hell of a running game, which they averaged 5 yards a carry today. But I don't know. This offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson. Yeah,
Johnson.
Ben Johnson, he's like, you know, the next great head coach candidate. I thought he stunk today. And by the way, Liam Cohn didn't do himself any favors either. But the Bucks win this game, Lee. The Bucks win this game. And you know what? They deserved it. They matched their physicality, if not overcame their physicality. I thought they made all the plays. The red zone defense, Lee, you're going to talk about the young guys on defense. That was the key to the game. Key to the game. Now, Chris Godwin did a great job in the first half.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Buck offense got very quiet after intermission.
Thank you, Mr. Hutchinson.
Gedeke can't come back soon enough, Lee. not soon enough. It's one of the great Buck wins of recent vintage.
Yes.
Yeah, Lee, you're not wrong. Is it the greatest win under Bowles? You could argue that.
I say yes.
You got that Atlanta game. It sticks in my craw a little bit because I think the season could have ended up terrible if they lose that game.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a comeback with, you know, 10 seconds left. And today wasn't like that. But given the caliber of the opponent, the Bucks deserve all the credit in the world. Bowles is getting better as a coach. And that Bowles defense, boy, can he coach a little defensively.
You can't say enough about this defense. For half a game, they didn't have Villa. They didn't have Winfield. They didn't have Kancey. Arguably, three of their best defensive players gone. And look how they play. The Servassier Dennis, if he's not starting Sunday against the Broncos, I'll be surprised.
He must have heard you a couple of weeks ago when you were questioning what the hell's going on with Servassier's defense. He's been an animal this year.
Yeah, I'm glad he did. I'm glad he did because he's playing like an animal. Motown, I checked Twitter. There is unrest in the streets, and it's got nothing to do with the Tigers.
Now, wait a minute. They're not 0-2. They're 1-1.
There is unrest in the streets for the very thing we were talking about. The Bucks were decimated up front. No Kancy, no Villa. Detroit's supposed to be this monster physical running team. They've got good running backs. They supposedly have the best offensive line in the NFL. They're screaming up in the air. Why didn't you shove the ball up the Bucks' derriere? You had backups in there. I think they got a point.
They do. Steve, what's Goff doing getting it thrown 55 times? I mean, what the hell is that? That's not a winning formula.
Well, I mean, they had massive...
Are they behind all game by 14 points? What's
they had on? A massive lead in time of possession. And it's the same thing with Mayfield, Ira. Same thing with Goff. We don't know when the plays changed at the line of scrimmage. Leon Cohen told us all offseason, Mayfield's going to the line of scrimmage with the answers. We want him to have a lot of control. He's going with this. He's going with that. You know, Mayfield apologized after this game for screwing up the Bucks' final drive, 3-and-out, when they could have iced the game out. We don't know if he took a play that, you know, was Cohen's third option that he went to the huddle with. So I don't know if I can blame Goff, but the bottom line is he was successful except for the picks. I mean, 300-plus yards.
I don't think he was successful. I don't.
He hung an L on himself.
Stevie, so. He averaged 6 yards per pass attempt. That's not a good number.
It's not a good number. The Bucs did a lot of good things, but they were still moving the ball left and right. But the Bucs' red zone defense, Ira, incredible. Stop after stop. How many times in the fourth quarter? Four times?
That's incredible.
I mean, and you look at the contributors across the board.
Yes.
And, you know, Izzian with the big interception. They still had to close it out later.
Whitehead was great today.
Whitehead was fantastic today. The Bucs did this, Ira, with no pass rush. And that's part of the reason.
Zero sacks, Lee.
Part of the reason Jared got through 55 times is because he wasn't under any pressure.
You know, more credit to the Bucs secondary. They didn't have a great pass rush today. Mm-hmm. He threw 55 balls. He wasn't put on the ground. And, Lee, I want to make this point, and I'll let you talk about the red zone. Throughout the game, not just the red zone. I think for a great majority, and this is the key for me, of the 55 balls that this guy threw, the Bucks contested most of them.
Yes.
And what do we talk about all the time about the Buck defense? They're too far off the line.
Not getting enough sacks.
Not enough pass defenses. Lee, they contested these balls.
Yes.
And I didn't see a lot of guys that were wide open. Not wide open.
That's true. Now, Bill Belichick, he did a, you know, he's on Inside the NFL this year. And NFL Network, we broadcast that this morning. I got up just to watch that. And
you can't get enough Belichick, Lee. You can't get enough.
And the guy's intelligent.
I don't blame you.
He's intelligent, yeah. Anyway, he was talking about the way you affect Goff. If you can't get to him, you move him.
You move him.
The Bucks were doing that. No, they weren't getting sacks, but they were moving him.
He did throw off his back foot quite a few times.
Yeah, they were moving him. They were moving him, and that was the key. I just can't say enough about this defense. All those guys out with injuries and what they did, and this wasn't like the Falcons. This is the freaking Lions. People are talking about this team going to the Super Bowl. They got weapons all over the place. Their offensive line is so good. For that defense to be that, you know, shook up with injuries and to play like that, I mean, this is like the Brooks Sapp kind of defense. I mean, just incredible.
And, Steve, I'm going to give you a layup here. We've talked about a lot of names. I mentioned
Don't
Godwin, and we talked about Izzian. And if you asked me who had the best day as a Buccaneer, and I'll set you up for it, Lee, it might have been freaking McCollum.
Yeah.
McCollum was everywhere.
Four passes defensed. Bucks had 9 total, which is a tremendous number. Opened up with the interception. And he was active. He was hitting. I mean,
almost had 2 picks.
The guy looked great.
We didn't know if the guy was going to play this week.
Sage, I'm going to, of course, watch the game a second time tonight. Looking forward to it. The question I have, and I should know the answer, but we're on a podcast. Our game's not over too long. I don't know. Sam Laporta, worst game of his career, Ira. Only had 2 catches for 13 yards. And I want to see who was shutting him down.
There's
the
no
Bucks.
Way they were double-teaming him. Not with Saint.
No.
Somebody did a job on Laporta.
Tremendous. You know what my guess is? Levante David.
Tremendous job underneath. And still, though, I have to say, Ira, Buccaneers in zone coverage, they're terrible. They don't do it well. And, of course, things tighten up in the red zone, so they get away with it. But, man, they're awful with these chunk plays after chunk plays. How many first downs for the Lions
about
today?
24.
I mean, big number.
By the way, Tyke Smith played well, too, Steve.
Yeah.
He played well, too.
Tyke Smith showed up. Sage, the defense, again, no pass rush. And to pull this kind of thing off with no rush. Now, you love to talk about Bowles. He manufactures pressure, and they did get a few pressures.
A few.
But overall, with 55 dropbacks, an abysmal pass rushing day.
This one's for Kevin Ross and the secondary.
Lee. Sure.
This one's for Ross, the Rock, they used to call him in Kansas City. By the way, is Dennis taking snaps away from Britt?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Britt, and you say keep that trend going.
He's impacting the game big time. I mean, this guy hits. You know, I thought he was a finesse guy. No, he's not. He's quick.
Lee, let me say one more thing to set you up. This microphone might fall off my head when I say this, but you got to give props when you give props. Tryon Shoyinka was pretty good today.
Yes, he was. In this Belichick, Belichick broke down the Bucs-Lions game, and he was showing clips of the Bucs beating Washington. Twice, Belichick used the word either tremendous or great in referring to plays that JTS made.
Whoa!
Yes, I'm dead serious.
And that's one, before this game.
Yes, and one of the plays, I'll just say a harsh critic of JTS's, he cited this one play, and Belichick said he played tremendous on this play. You know what that tells me? Bowles, it's not a priority for him to get to the quarterback. Number two, and this is the PFF problem. We want the players to do X, but the coaches may want them to do something totally different. So by Belichick showing Trienka what he called great and tremendous, you and I would like, rudimentary plays, but Belichick was giving him credit for, like, hey, you know, he pushed this guy out of
bounds. He knew what his role was. Belichick knew what his role was.
Bingo.
He's got to give your props to this Buck coaching staff. They're doing a hell of a job.
Extraordinary job on defense, Ira. And, of course, team was physical, like you came out and said. The Tryon Shoyinka thing, look, it's obvious the guy makes some plays in run defense. Otherwise, he wouldn't be on the field at all.
And that's what Belichick.
But for Belichick to go out of his way to single him out twice, and there wasn't a ton of extra other singling out, it really stood out. Chris Long was behind him as well. Chris Long even pulled one of them for his podcast on YouTube to dive in deeper than what they did on Inside the NFL to explain how Tryon Shoyinka had really not just set the edge but kind of changed it in a run play.
I didn't like the offense today, Steve.
Well,
I didn't like the offense.
Let's go a little bit more on the happiness of the defense, Ira. Before we get to the offense, before we throw some daggers around, Sage, anything else? What about those guys? Vea goes down early in the third quarter. And they did get gutted and gashed a little bit in the middle.
I saw Gaines make a play or two.
You know, they got guys like Mike C.J. Brewer in there, and you've got Gaines holding it down.
This is Goldstein. A very potent Detroit offense,
yeah.
Steve. Very potent. I said last week I wouldn't be surprised if they lead the league in scoring. And they got their yards, Steve. They got their yards. They got their 450 yards. But nobody cares. They got one touchdown. That's what's important. One freaking touchdown against this defense. Boy, Bowles can coach some defense, Steve. He really can.
So Izzy, now he was a bit of a hero at cornerback last week in a game that wasn't that close. But today he goes back, fills in for Winfield, plays really well, Ira. You know, is it time to throw incredible flowers at Jason Light for pulling this guy off the street as an undrafted free agent who's now going to contribute at three different positions in barely over a season for a good team?
Lee, I'm not sure Light needed a plane to get back to Tampa last night on Sunday night. He could have ran all the way home. He had so much juice. Steve's right. I mean, look at the guys, McCollum, Izzy, and the guys that we're talking about. Dennis.
Fifth round pick, Dennis.
Yeah.
Afterthoughts.
Bringing Whitehead back. Smart pick.
Yeah.
You know, shame on you for letting him go, but you got to make decisions. But they bring him back. They admit a mistake. And it was a mistake, but they bring him back.
A mistake that was rectified.
By the way, Jamel Dean played well. There's nobody back there who
didn't
play well today. No,
he got burned deep for 50 yards early, but after that, he was very good.
What a game for the secondary, Lee.
Since you brought up Izzy, and I got to say this. This has been in my craw. Not craw, craw.
Let me hear it.
This summer, you know, Steve and I do practice notes. And there were some practices where Izzy was making play after play after play. Now, Steve and I, if we see a guy make a play, we write about it. We don't know if it was double team. We none of that. We just, okay, so-and-so nearly got a pick. So-and-so broke up this pass. So-and-so was defending this guy. That's what we write. We see it, we write it. Well, somebody got on the comments And he said, you guys don't have any idea what you're talking about. I read somewhere else, and I have an idea where somewhere else is.
So why are they believing somewhere else instead
of
you?
Well, I just want to tell this SOB, that, you know what? There's no oracle out there. That I just wrote what I saw, and apparently I saw accuracy, because what the freak is Izian doing now? So this guy can go shove it. Whatever the hell he was reading, go shove it.
There's no all 22 in scrimmages on August 5th, right, Steve?
This guy claimed wherever he read this that Izzy probably wasn't going to make the team.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, whoever wrote that, keep
reading that.
Whoever wrote that, his ass is hanging out right now.
There,
isn't it?
There you go.
Wasn't going to make the team.
There you go.
All right, Sage, the offense here. The offense. Your thoughts on the offense. No running game.
No running
again,
game. Lee.
Zero.
No running game.
Zero. Unless Rashad White, as many believe.
Yeah, Robert Haynes can't be blamed.
That's right.
Unless Rashad White, as many believe, is the most unlucky runner in the history of the world. No running game again.
The blocking was lousy.
Baker Mayfield, I read that. Obviously had a great run. Juked the defender big time.
Must have read my column.
Must have read your column.
Day.
But I'm sure he's been dreaming about a run like that for a while. But the touchdown run. You watch the replay, Ira, a designed run for Baker Mayfield. You got Barton kicking up front ahead of him, and touchdown. He was the leading rusher with 34 yards.
That's never a good sign, Lee.
Five rushes, 34 yards. The Lions don't have a great run defense at all. And Mayfield, 12 of 19, 185 yards, touchdown, bad interception. Took five sacks, was under duress. Bucks win.
It's all on the defense today. You know, next week, you know, they could put up 35 or 37 again.
Mm-hmm.
But not today. Today you give the props to the other side of the ball. And I'm sure Mayfield will be the first one to do it.
He did.
The Bucs scored one touchdown in the second half. Other than that, they punted on their other four possessions. That's not good offense. Lee, the running game looked bad from the start. Irving didn't do anything more than White did. Didn't get as many tries. Lee, you got to be like me on this Mayfield thing. How the hell does he do it? How does he get out of these things? They got him boxed in like a squirrel, you know, with four guys chasing the squirrel. And he ducks his head and he goes here and he makes a little deke there. And how many times did he hit Godwin rolling out to the right on third down because he escaped the pocket?
Mm-hmm.
He has a tremendous flair for doing this. And I had no idea he could do that before he became a Buccaneer.
Well, I thought he was, even in Cleveland, he was able to get out of a jam. But I never thought he was Michael Vick-like.
Yeah.
And he's starting to look a little bit like, I'm not saying running like Michael Vick, but elusive.
He knows when to get down, too, Lee. That's another big one.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy like Jaden Daniels will have to learn that, which he will. But in the meantime, Jaden Daniels is driving Doug Williams crazy because Doug Williams is telling him every day in the locker room,
get down.
Mayfield's very resourceful, Steve. Very resourceful. He didn't have a bad game. I just didn't think. I don't think he was called on to do anything special.
Ira, obviously, we're always looking for the Bucs to get better, and right now they're on pace to be 17-0. We realize that. But does the lack of a run game through 2 weeks, does it concern you? Is there a reason? Like, for me, I look at it like, you know, game on the line. You had a chance to close it out. Number one, you didn't go to Irving, who closed it out for you last week. Number two, why can you still not run past Tristan Wirfs? You still can't run behind
him. Thank you.
So I don't get it, Ira. Mayfield throwing the ball on third down, had the ball tipped in that final drive. Very risky.
Oh, my God.
And we don't know if Mayfield made that decision at the line of scrimmage or what happened, but really stupid play and a byproduct of not being able to run the ball when you need to, and it nearly cost him. Your thoughts on the running game?
Too many runs between the tackles again, Lee. I thought I was watching a page out of last year, and I burned that page. I don't want to see that page. They were more imaginative in the ground game last week. They didn't throw the ball to White much today on those flare passes, which are effective,
mm-hmm.
Lee. That's a big staple of this Buck offense.
Yeah.
Where would they have been without Godwin today? I mean, in that first
Loss.
Half. The Lions were obviously, they were doubling Mike Evans.
Yeah.
They
only got like three catches?
Three catches, yeah. 42 yards. One for Rashad White for 5 yards. Only one target to Rashad White. Godwin, of course, had
Otten's
seven.
Otten's still quiet.
No catches.
For the second. Lee, maybe we're nitpicking. They're 2-0. They're 2-0.
Yeah, we're nitpicking.
Here comes the Broncos. Nobody's scared of Denver. It doesn't mean the Bucs are going to win the game. They're certainly going to be favored.
All right, Ira, can I ask you the tough question then?
Go ahead.
You sure? You ready for this,
Sage?
Of course
I'm ready.
All right, well, first let me remind everybody, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Podcast Addict. This is where you subscribe to the Sage, and then you know when the podcast pops, and you get an alert. It's right in your phone. It's a great way to do it, and remember to do it, and we love you when you do it.
Whenever it is and wherever you are, you find out that it's popped.
And feel free to leave a review for the Sage. We even had one recently that said, Lee, don't say people don't like you in the podcast. You're the best part. We recently had a review.
You'd have a 4.8 rating.
How'd you
but
get
for
your
me,
cousin to do that review, Lee? How'd you do that? You got that? You got that grim look on your face like this is going to be a whopper.
Grim. I'm not grim at all.
Not grim.
All right.
This is the challenging question for you, and maybe you're not ready to answer. Maybe you're not
ready.
No,
they're not going 17-0.
Okay, so you picked the Bucks to go 9-8, Ira. Are you willing to reassess at this point? You've got the schedule memorized. Up next, Denver and Philly at home, followed by Atlanta on the road, and now the Saints on the road in Week 6. The Saints, we'll talk about them a little bit. Week 7, the Ravens were upset today by the Raiders, and then they got Atlanta again. That's your first 8 games, and you know the second half of the schedule. Do you have any thoughts that change?
A man must be flexible or he's not a man, Lee. How do you like that? And thus, and I think they'll beat Denver, not a sure, not a guarantee. There's been a lot of upsets early, Lee, in the season. I didn't see the Raiders beating the Ravens today. Nobody saw that. And by the way, Mike Tomlin keeps wanting to win 13-7, Lee, and he's 2-0. But I have to reassess because, if they're 3-0 like I think they're going to be, and, Lee, they haven't been 3-0 since 2005. Lee, did you know that? 2005.
When I read your column, I knew that.
Yes, you did. So, Steve, what does that mean? That means I'm picking them to go 6-8 the rest of the way. I'm not down with that.
Fifth after Denver.
Yeah, after Denver.
After
Denver.
6-8. Okay.
So you're picking them. I don't think this team's a 6-8 team. So I got to bump it up right now, pending the Denver game. The Denver game. And you boys picked 10. So you
well, I've written I could see a path to 10. I didn't think so. I thought
you want to bump up to 11, Lee?
No. I was factoring in if they got to 10, they would have to steal one. They stole one today. Yeah. No one expected them to go up to Detroit and win. No one. Outside, maybe they resided in one Buck place.
Well, the theft, let's dive into the theft. Because Iris said earlier that he thinks the Bucks earned this. Physical.
Well, they earned it, but I mean, what I mean by steal is, do you know anyone that was not employed by the Bucks said, they're going to go up there and they're going to beat Detroit?
They were a big underdog, Lee.
Thank you. That's what I'm saying.
Vegas didn't expect them to win.
They stole one. No one expected
it. Well, we did it. We did our poll at Joe Bucks fan, Ira. It was 35% of the fans.
Well, that's Buck fans.
Well, but those, they're real people, Ira. They're who we're talking to.
I understand. They're not unbiased, and maybe neither are we. But we all picked Detroit to win. I think they deserved this win, Steve. I don't think there was anything fluky about it, Lee. I really don't. Detroit didn't play horrible. The Bucks outplayed them where it counted in the red zone.
Well, I'll tell you what really stuck out for me. Second quarter. I don't think I've ever seen this before. Lions converted 2 fourth downs and they never got any points. I don't know if I've ever seen a good team, and the Lions are a good team. I don't think I've ever seen a good team convert 2 fourth downs on the same drive and come up empty-handed without throwing a pick, without fumbling.
That's how all your momentum fizzles.
Yeah. And you know what? If they just get a field goal there, they win the game because they were in field goal range twice, weren't they? In the fourth quarter with the Bucks. Yeah, they were in field goal range twice, and the Bucks stymied them. That was monstrous. You give up 2 fourth quarter conversions, one of which was a fake punt, but still, 2 fourth quarter conversions, you give them up in the same drive, and you don't get a turnover, and you get off the field, bravo. Freaking bravo. That was excellent.
Campbell's trying to fall on a sword, Steve, for his football team, and I'm not going to knock him for that, and he's saying that the screw-up at the end of the first half was the key to the game. That's a lot of nonsense. There's still a half to go. It's a close game. Bucks didn't do much on the Buck defense won this game. Particularly in the second half.
Yes.
And it got nothing to do with Dan Campbell.
So Vita Vea's injury, all we know right now with Vita Vea, they're saying MCL sprain, which he's had before.
That's not minor.
And that can be 2 to 4 weeks, and it was the last time Vea had it, so we'll see where that goes. Hidden plays in this game, Ira, I'll give you a couple, and maybe you've got better. First was the Ira Kaufman special, which was the bomb to Trey Palmer. Flag comes out at the 3-4 yard line. Bucks can't score. They had a chance to score on their opening drive from the 5, first and goal.
Oops.
Couldn't do it.
And now it's 22 games, Steve.
Yep. And now it's the streak goes on, but that's a huge play there. Get the crowd out of the game a little bit. My other one is, the Bucks touchdown drive where they went up 2016. Early in that drive, Ira, that drive starts. They got a little momentum. Detroit had just scored. We get our first handoff. Goes to Bucky Irving. He goes 6 yards around the end. And the guy tackles him by his helmet, 15 yards. All of a sudden, Bucks are at midfield.
Great way to start the drive.
Crowd's out of the game again, and the Bucks find their way in.
Every time I thought Detroit had a little momentum, the Bucks had an answer.
Yes.
And that's not easy to do on the road. I mean, that place is maniacal.
Especially against a good team.
That Ford Field, did you hear that crowd
noise? They're crazy.
Oh, man.
Got any other hidden ones? I got one more, but I didn't want to steal your thunder.
Well, look, I usually don't talk about, you know, urging people to come out to a stadium, but maybe I'll save this for later. But
spit it out. Come on. The world could go, blow up.
How about a packed stadium next week? I don't care who you're playing. Come out to support your 2-0 football team.
You've been hanging around Russo too long.
He went to the Springsteen show the other day at Camden Yards. Russo went to Baltimore. He's got a picture of himself, you know, in the pit. Anyway, they made all the big plays, Steve. They made all the big plays.
Well, you got a hidden
I got it, but it's not positive. I really like Liam Cohen. I think he's a good coach and everything. Two things. Number one, when it's pretty damn obvious your right tackle is overwhelmed, don't bank on Cade Otten or Rashad White for help. Either bring in another guy or bring in a third tackle. Go max protect. Hutchinson was ruining your game
from the start. From the start.
Well, I'm saying once it was established that your right tackle could not handle the guy he was supposed to block.
I think he had a sack on the first drive. Am I wrong?
Go get help. Adjust. Cade Otten is not helping on a block. Not against Hutchinson. Rashad White is not helping on a block. Not against Hutchinson. You bring in this Merle Haggard guy if you have
Keith?
To. Bring someone else in, and for the love of God, don't try to run behind Schooley. You know what someone on Twitter referred to Schooley as? Drooly.
Steve, without being too harsh, and Hutchinson's a top-notch player. There's no question about it. Schooley was beaten like an ugly stepchild. Yep. I mean, it was bad. I didn't see any spin moves. I didn't see Dwight Freeney out there.
Yeah.
He just kept... He went on the outside flank, and Schooley had no angle on him. Zero. So, you know, well, Denver does not have Aiden Hutchinson. That's a break.
Swinging saloon doors. That's what Schooley was.
So, Sage, let me throw two things out at you. Now, I sat here on this podcast, the last one, and I was very firm that if Schooley has to play for Gedeky, it's a dire crisis situation.
It was dire.
Based on what I saw
it was dire.
In training camp. I've said this to you before. In training camp, I don't like to watch the stars because I don't think they go 100%. I like to watch the backups because I know they're going 100%. You can really
trying to make the team.
Trying to figure it out.
A job.
Now, Schooley, whatever. I thought it would be a crisis situation. Now, it was.
It was.
And they still won the freaking game, which is fantastic. Now, but this is what struck me. Cohen went out last week in his news conference and was very clear. Quote, we've got to have a plan not to let Hutchinson and Marcus Davenport, who didn't play, wreck this game, right? So we've got to have chips. We've got to have things in place in order to protect everybody, blah, blah, blah. Doesn't matter who. We can't walk out of the game Sunday and say, man, Aiden Hutchinson beat us because we didn't have a chip on him on this play. They did leave him out there one-on-one a little bit. They did. Rashad White and Otten didn't do a very good job when they were there to chip him. But, you know, any chip slows a guy down a little bit. But
they tried to slow him down enough that Schooley could set up in a proper fashion.
You chip a guy, you try to buy him an extra three quarters of a second. It didn't work, but they still overcame no pass rush, a swinging saloon door, no running game, and won. It's incredible victory.
That's a tidy little wrap-up, Steve.
To use,
if the Lions would have won this game, Lee, the Bucs would have lost this game to one guy, Aiden Hutchinson.
Of course.
That's why the Bucs would have lost.
Yeah.
Five sacks.
To use Steve's words.
Four and a half?
Oh, my bad.
Yeah. To use Steve's words, it was so dire.
Dire.
It was so dire, and you see Roger Dean's, how dire was it? It was so dire that on Twitter, Bucs fans were calling for Robert Hainsey to come off the bench.
You don't have to say any more, Lee. Don't say any more than that. They're 2-0, Stevie.
My daughter was doing the same thing. She's like, can Hainsey get in front of him? It's funny.
Steve, they're 2-0.
It's unbelievable what's going on right now.
They've won eight of the last 10 games, including the postseason.
Eight out of 10.
That's not bad, Lee. Not bad.
Mayfield in nine games, 21 touchdowns, five interceptions. That's half a season in the modern age. Look, he didn't play that great today, but he carried the Bucs to victory, plain and simple.
I can't remember another game where the Bucs secondary played up to that level. I mean, it's been a long time.
I can.
The Chiefs game?
Yep.
Super Bowl. Well, they had a super pass rush. They did. And that's a long time ago, Lee. That's a long time ago.
That's a great point because it was the secondary that bailed them. Not the pass rush. They had no help. The secondary had no help. It was all on their shoulders.
It was all on the secondary.
4 years ago. It's ancient history in the NFL. You know, it's just the way it is.
But Mahomes was running for his life.
Yeah,
we didn't see that from golf today. Yeah, they moved him around a little bit.
But he wasn't running for his
life. They hit him. He did take some hits. Maybe a few got in his head, but with 55 dropbacks, you're going to have your share of hits. All right, this last one I got to mention because at the time there were some things damaged at my home with blunt objects, okay? the Bucks get out there, and after the interception, early, they're driving.
Goff's first pass was intercepted.
And third and 22, Mayfield fires to Godwin. He gets just about 2 yards from the first down marker. Bucks got officially 4th and 3 from the Detroit 37, and he sends out McLaughlin.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my gosh, threes aren't going to do it in this game. We need some sevens. But you know what? The guy freaking nailed the kick. And I don't know what the analytics crew said there or if Bowles was like, I don't care. But great call by Bowles.
I'm not sure there's been a better kicker in the league since the start of last season than McLaughlin.
As far as clutch?
I don't care if it's 36 or 56. He makes them. Mm-hmm. Lee, he makes them. We were worried about him on August 18th.
Yeah.
Well, they better bring somebody in to compete against them. The Bucks are 2-0. How's that sound?
It sounds fabulous since one of those wins came against Detroit on the road. Fabulous.
It's unbelievable, Ira. So, look, the Saints, I did watch a little bit of the Saints.
They're one of the stories of the early season, the Saints.
Mean, another blowout of Dallas in Dallas. And we saw Dallas blow out the Browns last week, but forget about that. Alvin Kamara, that's the biggest part that scares me. He looks back in
all pro form. And Dallas defense isn't bad. It's pretty damn good.
I mean, they annihilated them. So, I mean, what are your thoughts there, Ira? And, of course, you always have a little bit of an eyeball on San Francisco. They get knocked off by the Vikings, who are 2-0.
Niner defense not playing up to their standards, especially a John Lynch. He's looking at this from the press box. He can't be happy. That's a bad loss. I know they're on the road, but Minnesota's mediocre. I mean, they got no quarterback.
What's that two-bit quarterback? Bradford?
Sam Darnold.
Yeah, Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold.
The Saints are scoring a lot of points, Lee. I mean, a ton of points.
Yeah, they are. Maybe this Kubiak knows what he's doing.
They got that deep receiver threat.
He's off to a hell of a start.
Carr had a great game today. By the way, poor Canales.
Still looking for his first touchdown.
Tepper's got to be going crazy in Charlotte. He better not fire him halfway through the season. I mean, that's a nutty move.
What did you think of
they have a terrible roster.
What did you think of the email I sent you?
About
Tepper and Jimmy Haslam?
Yeah.
I'll just say this real quick. Those two guys, they got the franchises in part because they were Steelers minority owners. Hey, man, you know, these guys learn from the Rooneys. They know what they're doing. They're just the opposite of the Rooneys. They're clowns.
Yeah. I always look at the Saints as mediocre. I always have them for 7 or 8 wins. Last year, they won 9. Steve beat the Bucks handily. In Tampa, toward the end of the season, you're always much higher on the Saints. You don't think they're an elite team.
Talent.
But you like their talent.
I like talent.
Yeah, yeah. And Carr's healthy.
Here's the thing to look out for with the Saints. Their defense is old. They may be talented, but they're old. And just think back to 2008. Bucks had a talented defense. They were old. They collapsed in December.
I don't even think Lattimore played today. In fact, I don't think he did.
He didn't have to.
He's been getting injured a lot.
Steve, nobody knows this better than you. You're Mr. Poll, and you're going to do another one this week, I'm sure. Has Bowles won over Buck Nation, Steve? Or are they still some questions?
Well, look, he should, especially right now. If you can't be high on Bowles right now, I don't know what planet you're on. They've won 8 out of 10. They've beaten some darn good teams along the way. So, I mean, if you're not on the Todd Bowles bandwagon 100%, I get it, but you should be in there 90%.
Did you think that McLaughlin field goal decision was too conservative by Bowles early?
For Bowles, no. For normal people, yes.
Well, Steve makes a good point. You're playing the Lions. They score a lot of points. It's like when you're playing the Chiefs, you don't kick field goals.
Yeah.
It affects you.
Well, Liam Cohen was even talking about that last week. He's going for touchdowns. He's not going for field goals. And I guess he got overruled.
Well, Hutchinson wrecked the first goal-to-go situation, forced him into a field goal. Prior to that big Godwin play was a sack by Hutchinson for 11 yards. So he wrecked that drive. And I just felt like they should have gone for 7, but it worked.
Incredible. What is the problem with not running behind Wirfs?
I don't know.
Boy, what a mystery. What a freaking mystery. Now, is he Anthony Munoz? No, but he's the best you got,
well, sure
especially with Gedicke out.
I was going to say, he sure as hell ain't Schooley.
Well, here's the thing, Ira. Right now, and it's only 2 games in and it's not fair, but that's all we got. Cohen has decided I'm not going to hammer the ball behind Wirfs. Canales decided I'm not going to hammer the ball behind Wirfs. Todd Bowles, who controls all this stuff, hasn't issued an edict run behind Wirfs.
Right.
So maybe he's not that good of a run blocker, Ira.
Maybe.
He was good enough a couple years ago when Arians was around.
Lee, how about throwing a couple of flowers to Godwin? Off to a hell of a start.
Oh, yeah.
I've been screaming for 2 years that he doesn't get in the end zone.
Now he is.
He was the Buck offense in the first half, Lee. I think at some point in the middle of the second quarter, Mayfield had 6 completions, all to number 14. All of them. He's sneaky good, Lee. He's sneaky. He's a hell of a route
runner. He's not sneaky. He's just good.
Steve and I saw at the very first training camp practice. He was just, him and Evans were ready to go. They were head and shoulders above everybody. And that's carried on into the season.
How proud of winning the turnover battle again is Bowles. He always looks at that first, like most coaches, Lee. He's not the only one.
Especially defensive guys.
But, Steve, they're winning the turnover battle, and, you know, that's half the battle.
It's unbelievable. So exciting. I can't even put words to it, Ira. And you'll know I'm extra excited when Chris Godwin hits 851 yards this season. That'll buy you that'll buy you a salad.
Nice. You know, Steve put it very well, Lee. Look at what they overcame today. No running game.
No pass rush.
No pass rush and a game wrecker in Hutchinson. And the Bucs won the game.
And injuries. Unreal.
That's one of the great wins.
Yeah, you're right.
And they're going 3-0, says the Sage. We didn't even get to our prediction podcast yet. 3-0.
Oh, why not?
Not since Cadillac Williams.
Was today's game the personification of find a way to win?
In a sense, sure it is, Lee. Sure it is. Again, I don't think the Lions feel they played terrible. I think they were shocked how many plays the Bucs made.
Well, you know what? You make a good point. I think they were surprised how the Bucs just kept coming after them in waves. Especially on defense.
Relentless.
Yeah, I don't think they expected that.
A lot of hustle, too, from the Bucs. Hustle.
83 defensive snaps.
Wow.
How hard that is.
Wow.
83. Levante David must be so sore this
that's a great point,
coming
Stevie.
Days.
That's a great point.
I'm sure Bowles is going to go very light on the guys this week.
I still can't get over Goff throwing 55 balls, Lee, in a close game when he wasn't having a lot of success.
Well, like I said, go to Twitter, type in Vita Vea, and click latest, and you'll see the Lions fans are going bananas.
Ira, people love a Ford Bronco Sport. It's a hot, cool car out there, and you can get one right now at Bill Curry Ford. They're right there. I'm looking at them right now.
I might have to go to the dealership and check it out. I just might.
You
might.
I like this one. It's kind of like a sky blue I'm looking at.
Sky blue, baby. Goes with my hat. Goes with my newsboy hat.
Goes with your beret. But BillCurryFord.com. Start shopping now. And, of course, visit Florida'sElitereStoration.com. It may not be as fun as shopping for a vehicle, Ira, but to have a disaster plan for your home, that is critical. And reach out to them 24/7 if you do have a problem. They'll respond and be right there for you.
Lee, is it shameful we all picked the Lions to win this
no.
week?
No,
because
the
name of this thing is Joe Bucs fan. Is it shameful, Lee?
No, because
pride ourselves on our objectivity, Steve.
Well, I don't know any Bucs fans for real who thought the Bucs were going 17-0. So you got to pick a game that they're going to lose. And
but when you did that Buck poll, it was pretty close.
It was 35% Bucs fans thought would win the game. 45, I'm rounding off, 45 to lose. And the rest were not sure. So the Bucs fans were split, and I'm just happy they won.
Lee, question that only you can answer.
Uh-oh.
And this will be the last one, then we'll get out of here.
Lee, no, we don't have beer right now.
Lee, only you can answer this. All right, Kyle Brandt, he chipped in last week, but it was only about a particular player. Lee, other than Kay Adams and Peter Schrager, is there going to start being a little groundswell about talking about the Bucs?
Yeah, I've seen it already. You saw the guys on Fox saying that?
No, I didn't see it.
Well, they were. And the post-game show, they were like, you know, we've got to start paying attention to these guys. The inside the NFL, those guys were saying that. Ryan Clark said, well, we picked the Falcons instead of the Bucs because the Falcons, they're not boring. The Bucs are boring. And Chris Long said, yeah, they're boring and good. They bore us because they're always good. And he's like, this, by the way, this shocked me. Chris Long said on Inside the NFL, the Bucs have a program down there. They know how to win.
Whoa.
Yeah. In fact, go back 4 years ago, and the Bucs were the laughing stock. And I hope Jason Light saw that because he goes, they know how to build a program. They got a program down there. They win. Belichick did not argue.
The bright days continue for this franchise. The bright days.
I'm going to say this, Ira. Two things. One, I don't think everything will change much unless the Bucs beat the Eagles in Week 4. If they go 3-1 after and lose to the Eagles, I don't think there's just going to be a lot there yet. Part two is the Bucs, from asking the way I did, Tom Brady doesn't have a scheduled game to cover the Bucs as the number one broadcast crew. But, you know, as the season goes on, there's more flexibility with those games, and that changes. So it's very possible, and I think it'll be very exciting, if Week 6 Brady calls the Saints and the Bucs in New Orleans.
In New Orleans.
With those teams, you know, maybe each 4-1, something like that.
Wait, you might run into Brady at the gumbo shop. Lee, you never know.
I don't think he does gumbo, but I will be there.
Would you buy him a muffaletta, Lee?
Of course I would.
Of course you would.
Isn't it a muffaletta?
There's various pronunciations.
In Brooklyn, it's a muffaletta.
It's good. Oh, you know. At the Central Grocery,
Steve,
down in Canal.
Decatur. Steve, this is one of the most jubilant Buck podcast we've ever done.
Hey, victory is a victory, man. All right, so we're out, and Ira, what'd you eat during the game? We got to know. What does the Sage eat during an exciting game?
What'd you munch?
I said I wasn't going to have any lunch because she made something in a crock pot and with noodles, and it was fantastic. And I said at 1:18 p.m., when the Buck game had just started, I said to my wife at 1:18, I'm skipping lunch. I'm saving up for the crock pot. At 1:40, I started making lunch. I got no willpower, Steve. I got no willpower. What's going on?
So what'd you have?
I had a frozen a pot pie, a little small pot pie I threw in there, and I put it into the package. It melted all over the package. I had to throw half of it out.
Man, a man of your stature should be eating better than a frozen pot pie, but
banquet.
We'll work on it.
Yeah, no, it wasn't banquet, but
Stouffer's.